Welcome to the Stories of School Leadership podcast, inspirational leaders, shared experiences, creating connections. I'm Emma Lurie and thank you for joining me as I share the journey, stories and inspiration of amazing educational leaders from all around the world. This week's episode, I'm joined by Jen Mitchell. She shares a bit about her squiggly route into education leadership and how she has found something recently that has really reignited her passion for the sector. Let's get into it. Hi, Jen. It's so great to have you with us. Thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with me to share some information about you and your experiences and your story. Can you just give us a little intro to you, who you are, where you come from, that sort of thing?
Of course, yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks for talking to me, Emma, this evening. So, yeah, my name's Jen Mitchell. I'm based in the East Midlands, Nottinghamshire, and have worked mainly in Nottinghamshire, but I had a headship in Leicester in the city. I've been up in Bradford, spent two terms up in Bradford recently, and now I'm on supply at a school out in the Vale of Beaver, where I'm muddy every day. It's an AP, a fabulous place, working with the children and the pigs and the goats and the chickens. So very varied.
Sounds fantastic. And this is where I get really nosy, because now I need to know all of the things that led you to that place. So if it's okay with you, something that I've been really interested to find out from the leaders that I've been speaking to is their own experience of school and their own experience of education and what that was like. So would you mind sharing with us a bit about your own sort of schooling and what that was like for you?
Yeah, I don't mind at all. So I had a fairly, I suppose, average primary experience. I kind of hit puberty and hit a bit of a wall, really. Became quite unwell, actually. Suffered with mental health issues. So secondary school was incredibly difficult. The only thing I ever wanted to do was go into acting. That was it. And my secondary school teachers thought it was a complete waste of my time and I should be a doctor or a lawyer, which, you know, I wasn't interested in at all. So did my GCSEs. No, I didn't. That's a big lie. I did O levels and CSEs. That's how long ago it was. And enrolled, you know, was going to stay on to do A levels, but ended up leaving. I just was not in the right place. Hated school with a passion, which is really very sad because I loved learning. You know, I really, really loved learning. But school wasn't for me. So I'd have done anything. I was applying to work in factories, but I went to work for one of the banks at the time, spent 2 years doing that. Spent 2 years as a student nurse. Great experience. That wasn't for me. And did all sorts of things. Eventually, I went back to college to do my A-levels and I did them part-time and I worked in a pub to pay my way, lived in a flat. This was near Birmingham. Loved working in the pub and that could easily have been my career path, but stuck it out with A-levels and then went to uni to do drama and theatre arts.
Amazing.
So, yes. So got there. Absolutely loved that. Left university and didn't pursue it. I went to work for the Nottingham Evening Post, selling advertising space. Which I don't even know where that came from. Got married And then was expecting my first child and thought, hold on, I need to do some real thinking here because I don't want to not work. I don't want to work selling advertising. I'd done a bit with, a bit of theatre and education. I thought, I quite like children. Why not go and be a teacher? So I did, yeah, I did my teacher training when my first child was, I think she was 4 months old when I started
Oh, wow.
PGCE. Worked in a pub at night to pay
Yeah.
the, so tough year. But absolutely loved it. Absolutely just loved it. And never looked back, really. So it took me a while to get into it. I had lots of supply posts and then some maternity covers. Usual thing, had a second child, a bit more supply, and I'd got, you get to know the schools, don't you? And they ask for you back if if you're lucky. And one particular school I got quite a close relationship with, and when my second child was born, I took her in the car seat, and she sat, they were so desperate for supply, she sat in the corner of the classroom in the
Oh my
car seat.
goodness. That's flexible
And
working, isn't it? What a great
it was
example.
incredibly flexible. And in fact, both of them must have spent, I suppose, like lots of teachers' children, so much time sat in classrooms in the summer holidays and in the, Christmas holidays and weekends. And so, yeah, and one of those schools that I did a maternity contract at, I ended up going back to them. Gosh, it's that was about the year 2000. That shows how old I am. But and then ended up staying. So went on a short-term contract, was made permanent, got a TLR for Key Stage 2, went and did my maths primary specialist teacher qualification, so led on maths, deputy head. And so ended up staying there until I was ready for my headship. Yeah, so
Amazing.
that
It's
was,
so
yeah.
interesting to hear, isn't it? I think I remember being at secondary school and people saying, what do you want to do? And genuinely having no idea. And I definitely went through phases where I did want to be a teacher. I was always quite bossy, as my mum would have said, or good leadership qualities would call it now.
That's right, yeah.
But yeah, it's just seen, isn't it, that actually you need to go from one thing to the next thing to the next thing and know what you want to do. And so many people have. There's a book, isn't it, called Squiggly Careers, where people do so many different options, and it's fascinating to hear, you found your path and found something that clearly you loved, but had to try a few different things on the way. So you did deputy
Absolutely.
headship, and then what was the next step after that?
So deputy headship and then yeah, into headship. So I'd went I wanted a challenge. So I left the school where I knew everybody and the local authority where I knew everybody and you build up all your connections and went into a completely different authority to a city school in Leicester. So and so when I first started, I was asking, what on earth does that mean? What does that mean? These three letter acronyms that we take for granted, you move to a different authority and they've got a whole new set of them. I had to relearn, everything and then build up a new network. I mean, people were brilliant, the local heads were fabulous. It was a local authority school. I was mentored by an experienced head down the road. So yeah, and was there for 7 years.
Amazing. And what were the big challenges in that bit of your leadership time? What were the things that you think really like tested you?
When I arrived at the school, it was they'd been through quite a tough time, lots of changes, leadership, kind of turbulence, and people were, or a number of people, quite wary, understandably. They'd been, I'd use the word breakdown if it's not too strong a word of communication and relationships between a lot of parents and the school. And I wouldn't blame anybody for that because it was a really, tough time for everybody. But it was that kind of, it was the culture that it was like turning an oil tanker. And you go in day in, day out, day in, day out, and you are consistent and, measured and reassuring, and you have to reassure not just the staff, but the pupils and the parents that you're staying. You're not there for 6 months or a year. You're staying and you're going to develop the relationships. You're going to be there. You're going to listen. And so building that trust was a real challenge, but so worth the effort. So worth the effort. Yeah.
Were there times when lots of people have described, turning the ship around or like some sort of big vehicle, because it is, it's such a huge job, leadership, particularly headship, and it can be really lonely, can't it? Were there times when you weren't sure if you would stick it out? Or did you question that at times?
Yes, yeah. Not with any seriousness. And I had this thing in the back of my head that don't worry, because you were a really good teacher, there's always that. You were a really good teacher, there's always that. So it was like having a kind of secret get out clause that I never really had to, well, I never had to kind of use. But it was there, and that was a comfort because I loved the classroom. I didn't leave the classroom because I didn't like it. I wanted to have a wider impact, I think. But I was happy to be in classrooms. That was home. It felt right. So that was
Yeah.
kind of my escape route, if you like.
Yeah. I think the best leaders are the ones that love being with children, because that's what we all got into it for, isn't it? So
Absolutely.
if we can make sure we spend time with them. I think that's can be what's really hard about leadership, is you end up naturally, because of the job, you step away from being with the young people who bring so much joy, hopefully, to the role. So I'd love to know about sort of people or organizations or books or things that kind of inspired you along the way. So was there anything that gave you some inspiration in that shift, maybe from deputy headship into headship, or while you were in that, really challenging time of turning that around? What were the things that really inspired you and got you
I
up in the
think,
morning?
well, the children. I mean, the children. We thinking about questions that you might ask today, and one of them was, oh, I wonder if they're going to ask me if Emma's going to ask me if there's any amusing stories. And I genuinely can't remember one, but I remember laughing so much. There was so much laughter and so much happiness, and it was the children that kept you going, because children are hysterical, aren't they?
Yeah,
They
they
are
are.
hysterical. And some of the humor and the kind of, quick thinking of even primary pupils, it's astonishing. So yeah, the pupils, biggest inspiration, those children, young people. But you look at some of the families, and I work with some families who had, really tricky lives and some hard times. And you watch them and you think, well, that's resilience. It might not be being able to do a full page of writing, but my goodness me, you're getting your child to school every day. That's resilience. That child is coming into school and rocking up day after day when they haven't slept or they haven't had a bed to sleep in or, have experienced awful things. They're the people who really inspired me. Some of the local heads kept me going. There was a real camaraderie and the network that was there. There was always somebody I knew, somebody on the end of the phone. Might not have picked it up very often, but there was somebody there. And some of the staff. you look at the work that they do, and day in, day out, again, they come, they turn up, they might not be all singing, all dancing, but my goodness me, they care about those children. Those children are making progress and are in school and happy and secure. And you just think, wow,
It's like you said, isn't
these
it?
are
You
amazing
know,
people.
being willing to take your own children in, I think that's certainly something if when we talk to people who are not in the education sector, they just don't always understand the magnitude of the role at any level in education. You know, the magnitude of what staff in education are doing at the moment. And you've touched upon there the challenges that our families are facing, and certainly over the last, I mean, it's always been increasing, hasn't it? But over this post-COVID, definitely, we're seeing families who are really, really struggling, and children with increased behaviour, increased send needs. And, you know, certainly the leaders that I work with and talk to are, and I've experienced it myself, you know, we are doing the job of so many other services. So, yeah, hats off to the people who are in education. They're amazing. They're such inspirations.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it would be great to know what happened next then, because you're not currently head teacher of that school.
No. So I had 7 years there. Absolutely loved it, but I developed an autoimmune illness, sadly, now, whether that was down to, I don't know, the work or something in me, or anyway, I was poorly. And in order to really get my health back on track, I needed to have a break. I knew that I needed to have a break out of headship. I'd got a fabulous senior leadership team, absolutely brilliant. They were more than capable of stepping up and doing the roles. So yeah, I took a career break, did some travelling. Got a
Oh,
motor home, spent some time
amazing.
in France, traveling around France, and so yeah, had a brilliant time. And then, but I wasn't ready. I'm wasn't ready to hang my education hat up. So came back and sort of thought, what am I going to do? What do I really want to do now? I'll do a bit of supply, see if I can still teach for a start. So scary. Going back into that classroom, but I could do it. That was brilliant, and people kept asking for me back. And then, out of the blue, I got a call from a recruitment agency asking if I'd consider a role in Bradford, which is sort of a 2 hour plus drive. And they said, "Well, look, it's really interesting, and I know you want something interesting. It's in a resource provision for deaf pupils." I said, "Well, I don't sign. I don't know anything about." I'm mainstream. They said, "Look, it's the leadership they want. It isn't, the deaf piece. They've got experts. They've got deaf staff, interpreters." Like, okay, why not? It's one term. I'll give it a go. I'll do the hotel thing. And it'll be fine. And it was absolutely just one of the best decisions I've ever made. It was fantastic. So it was within, it's a resource provision is a specialist setting, but within a mainstream school. So I led this specialist setting and was DSL for them, and was part of the senior leadership team for the main school. So it was in a challenging area in the city in Bradford, and it was just what a place. And I will name check Swain House Primary School, because they switched a light on for me again. Such my passion, my drive, everything just came back on. Wonderful school. They just had Ofsted before I got there and got a very, very well deserved good. The resourced provision was phenomenal. I learnt to sign. Something that I'm carrying on now, because it's like a superpower, particularly learning to swear in sign language, because it's very, very powerful. But it was just a complete change from anything that I'd ever done before. And I was so glad I'd taken that leap. And I ended up staying for 2 terms while they appointed a sort of substantive post. The leadership team in the mainstream school were phenomenal. They were an inspiration. The head was fantastic. We worked really closely together. And I think it was probably the school that where I felt that really everybody was pulling together. Everybody was on that journey together. And maybe I hit it at a lucky time. I don't think so. I think it was genuinely like that. A phenomenal place,
It sounds
absolutely
like such a
phenomenal.
special place. And it's again similar to your journey kind of into education and leadership. I think it's so powerful to share the journeys when you've stepped out and done something different, because I think I certainly hear a lot of people who are finding educational leadership incredibly challenging, you know, more challenging than it's ever been before is what people often say at the moment. And we don't always know what's out there. And absolutely, I would have been terrified the idea that anyone would have thought, you know, I would have felt the same, you know, I can't do those things. But to hear that those opportunities might be out there and that, you know, if you've got your leadership skills to be able to go and try different aspects, different sorts of provision is really inspirational to hear. I think it's so great just to, I mean, amazing to hear the traveling bit, but also that you managed to find something different that ignited that passion. Because that's what it's about, isn't it? It's about knowing what you're doing is making a difference. And you're getting up every day thinking this is the best job in the world. Because certainly sometimes it feels extremely draining and really, really tricky. So, and we chatted a little bit before we sort of started recording around what the challenges are in education at the moment. And I'd love to hear your thoughts around what you think we can be doing better or what we can do to really support leaders and staff, I guess, in education at the moment, especially as things are really, really challenging.
I think it is very tough. It's a tough place to be. I've embarked on a coaching qualification once I'd left headship. And what that's opened my eyes as well to the importance of kind of proper high quality coaching. I thought that when I was ahead, I was good at coaching. I thought, oh, I'm but I No, not at all. What I was doing was mentoring well, but mentoring. And I've been really lucky. Had quite a few guinea pigs to practice on from educational leadership. You know, it's where my network is. Who've been very complimentary. But what they've said is it's given them a space with somebody completely outside their organisation. And it's not an offloading. It's not a moaning or a tell me what to do about this. It's a space for people to talk through and reach their own solutions and look inside themselves and get perspective. I mean, to be perfectly honest, you do very little as a coach. You ask a few questions, you know, well timed, and well rehearsed. But it's so I think that a greater level of support needs to be in there, whether it be supervision, coaching. And there are ways that can be done. It could be done across networks or, but people need to know that they can trust the coach. And I think there's a bit of a rub, isn't there, if your CEO organizes some coaching for you. I think that then if, certainly for me, and I've worked with 2 CEOs and they were both great. I'm not criticizing the CEO, but you would always just have that in your mind. So I think there's something powerful about us reorganizing that kind of level of support so it sits outside the organization. But
Yeah,
I th
giving
also
people
think
that
it's a,
choice.
yeah, and it's, but it's also important it's not limited to leaders as well, because we do often talk about, and leaders have that bear that burden of responsibility, and it is a huge burden, you know, and the safeguarding things that are going on, and attendance, and all of these things. But I think we also then need to find a way of filtering it down or offering a support system to the whole staff. that team and not just saying, right, here's a phone number you can ring when you get really stressed, but something more than that, something really built into the structure and the fabric of education and people who work with children and young people.
I would completely agree. I think some, I mean, coaching certainly is becoming more popular in the headship space. You know, it's definitely something people are talking about more and engaging in, which is, I think, absolutely agree. I think it's really great. But sometimes at other levels, or even if we're thinking about supervision or support, you're right. People get to the point where they think, oh, I let it get really bad before I access support. And it's about what can we do to prevent burnout, and how can we get leaders and educators at all levels absolutely really thriving, because it is a tough job. We're trying to do, you know, the job of seven or eight other different professionals, and it's how we can build that support in, because, you know, it's all in the papers about the retention crisis and all of those sorts of things. But yeah, I think you're right. I think coaching absolutely has a place to play in that. So before we finish, I'd love to know what's next. What are you thinking about doing next?
Oh, well, so I'm applying kind of as we speak, my application's there. I'm looking at l leadership, either interim, ideally substantive, in special. I'm now absolutely converted, this new passion, it's like I said before, it has reignited something in me. I still feel like I've got loads to give to education, not as a head teacher, but I've got all this experience that I can bring to support, bring to a senior leadership team. Quite happy to not be in that, alone in that driving seat anymore, she says, for now. So yeah, that's what I'm doing. And in the meantime, happy to carry on supply and get more experience. I think that one thing I've learned from this past year or two is that it's that 10% braver, isn't it? It's that taking the plunge. You don't know where it's going to lead. I never envisaged myself working in Bradford, but I took that leap, and yeah, it's led me down a whole different path. But still working with children and young people, which has sort of been my life for the last 30 years. So, yeah, not
Amazing.
quite ready to hang my hat up
No,
yet.
absolutely not. I've got far too much to offer, I think. Yeah. Do you follow the sort of women ed community and their books about
I
10% braver?
do,
I mean, I think
yeah.
that is such an amazing idea for all of us to embody, isn't it? Just be brave, take that leap. When I left headship last summer, and I did not feel brave at all. I thought, I have, you know, I failed. I'm at burnout. This is awful. The amount of people that said to me, "You are so brave for making this choice. It's not working for you at the moment. You are so brave to take that leap and do something different." And I think I hadn't seen it from that perspective. But you're right. Just seeking, you know, seeing what's out there, and sometimes that's in your own organization, being brave enough to, you know, say no to certain things, or being brave enough to take your own path, or sometimes absolutely being brave enough to try something different. Amazing. Well, I can't wait to hear what you get up to next. You need to tell me. I'm very nosy, so I need to know what's
I
next for
certainly
Jen
will.
Mitchell. Amazing. Thank you so much for taking the time to share your journey with us. It's been amazing.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed talking to you.
Perfect. Right, we'll say goodbye. See you in a bit.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Stories of School Leadership podcast. We'd love to know your thoughts on this episode. Get in touch and tell us what you think, and share this episode with colleagues so we can spread the word. If you'd like some support with leadership coaching, supervision or consultancy, you can get in touch with me via the Stories of School Leadership Instagram account, or I'm Emma Lurie on LinkedIn, or you can send me an email. It's info@emmalurie.co.uk. I hope you have a great day, whatever you're up to next, and I can't wait to share the next episode with you. Goodbye.